As I was preparing for the message this week, I was doing a little bit of research and came across a story that really resonated for me and I wanted to share with you. And it's about a man who was passing by some elephants in a grove. He suddenly stopped, confused by the fact that these huge, magnificent creatures were being held by only a small rope tied to their front leg. No chains, no cages. It was obvious that the elephants could, at any time, break away from their bonds, but for some reason they did not. He saw a trainer nearby and asked why these animals just stood there and made no attempt to get away. Well, the trainer said, when they're very young and much smaller, we use the same rope, same size rope, to tie them, and at that age, it's enough to hold them. As they grow up, they're conditioned to believe that they cannot break away. They believe the rope can still hold them, so they never try to break free. The man was amazed. These animals could at any time break away from their bonds, but because they believed they couldn't, they were stuck right where they were. You know, life's all about choices. We all make them. Some choices are good, some aren't so good. Some choices are essential to our physical well-being, such as breathing, or eating, or resting. We make hundreds of choices a day. Many of these choices we make without conscious effort or thought, like we're on autopilot, such as brushing our teeth, showering, getting dressed, and going to school or work. In fact, I believe that for the most part, we make choices in our lives without thinking. For instance, do we think about everything we say or do, or do we just blurt something out, sometimes hurting others with our words? When this happens, were these words intentional or unintentional? Do we even realize we said something that might be hurtful, or were we on autopilot? Or do we, like the elephants mentioned a minute ago, make choices based on conditioning? How many of us go through life hanging on to a belief that we cannot do something simply because we failed at it once before? Choices are also essential to our spiritual well-being, such as fellowship, or reading the Bible, or praying, or serving the Lord. We're smack dab in the middle of the most amazing season right now. This is my favorite season of the year. This last week, we celebrated the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in human form, a birth that had been foretold hundreds of years in advance, the birth of a child that would forever change the world, a life that started in the most humble surroundings. This coming week, we start a new year filled with challenges and problems. It's also a time of new beginnings with a promise of better things to come. It's a time for reflection and a time to come together to create something better in the new year. And as we think about this journey that our church is on, think about everything that's going to be happening in this new year. 2020 is going to be a year of such tremendous change as we go into our own worship center, as we hold services not here, as we have the opportunity to do more and more reach out to our community. As we think about these things, the opportunity to create something better, we have a blueprint, the roadmap, right in front of us. It's God's Word, and His Word tells us how to live our lives so that one day we may ascend into His kingdom. Our scripture lesson today gives us the blueprint that will enable us to make a choice on what we will do and how we will do it. God has given each of us a calling in life. He's also equipped us with gifts specific to that calling. And He has given us the ingredients to make our calling a reality. The Apostle Peter tells us how to go about doing this. In verse 5, he begins with faith. Faith is the foundation on which everything else is built. Our lives, our salvation, and our redemption. Faith gives us the right to call ourselves children of God. But Peter also tells us that we need more than just a foundation. He gives us a map to create a strong temple for God to reside in. He says, supplement faith with virtue. I got a little confused on that one because I say, well, what is virtue? What is virtue in the biblical setting? So one definition that I like is that virtue is a behavior showing high moral standards. Virtue is resisting temptation. It's putting God above all else. And then we continue to progress. We supplement virtue with knowledge. When we put God above all other things, then we're ready to learn God's word. We're not just ready, but we're thirsty for more knowledge. The truth will always set us free, whereas false words will hold us back and make us fearful. But the journey's just begun as we supplement knowledge with self-control. To have knowledge is to have power, and the use of power requires constraint and self-control. Take a look at the world. We can look at society in biblical times, or we can look at the present. Power easily corrupts the strongest of men and women. We need to start with a foundation, which is faith, layer in knowledge, and then exercise self-control in order to use the power we have for good and in service to God's kingdom. Then we supplement self-control with steadfastness. We need to stay the course and not let outside events or people deter us from what we know is right and what is good. We supplement steadfastness with godliness. It sounds great to be godly or to practice godliness, but what does that mean? Godliness is reverence for God and a life of holiness in this world. This takes our foundation of faith to a whole new level. It seems like if we can get to this level, then we can easily confirm what our calling in life is. But wait, there's more. Supplement godliness with brotherly affection. Brotherly affection requires us to love thy neighbor as we love ourselves. It means we extend an unconditional hand of friendship. We love even when we are not loved back. We give without giving, without getting. And we always look for what is best in others. And then we're told to supplement brotherly love or brotherly affection with love. From a biblical perspective, love is selfless and unconditional. It's pure. It is what Jesus proclaimed as the most important virtue. To be honest, this is the one that I struggle with and pray over all the time. There are days when I see a homeless person or a vagrant looking for a handout, and I do not see them as I see myself. I pass judgment on them. I do not love my fellow man unconditionally. So these are the ingredients as we aspire to center our love, our lives, to live in a godly manner. Peter tells us in verse 10, for if you practice these qualities, you will not fail in your calling. So as we enter this new year, I challenge you to take a look at how you are using the gifts God has given you and to seek ways to strive to use these gifts to make at least one person's life better. Who knows? You may be the inspiration to help someone else commit their life to God and to be in service to His kingdom. In His name, amen.